turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read one verse tonight. That's all. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read one verse together. It's a short verse. Many of you can quote it, but it's verse number 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. We're going to read it in unison. That means we're all going to read it together, all right? Everybody understand that one? Here we go. You ready? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. All right, and let's pray. Father, thank you. You sure have been good to us. Lord, we have a place to meet. Your people are together. We've seen people saved this week and even down the aisle today in church. And Lord, we need you. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you bless the sermon tonight. Give us from the Word of God what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Being happy and being joyous are not the same. Happiness means enjoying the happenings around you. Happiness is external stimuli affecting your attitude. For instance, a roasted pig is happiness. Man, Brother Jerry, we're not going to roast you tonight, all right? a hamburger, rare, with lots of mustard, no mayo, and no ketchup. That is happiness. You know, when it's almost still cold in the middle, amen? A note like one of our young people gave me today was happiness. It had a few dollars in it from one of our young people, and it said, I love you, my family loves you, and I want you to know that we're here for you, and this is for you to buy some coffee with. That's happiness. It really is. When your child obeys, that's happiness. And it doesn't matter if they're that tall or if they're that tall. Amen? Getting a good grade, that's happiness. That's a happiness I never enjoyed. Amen? Maybe it's a raise in pay or a promotion. That's a happiness. Now, wait a minute. Those are things that can make you enjoy life a little bit, but it's based on something happening to you, the happenings going on around you. The root word of happy is the word happen. It's happenings. Happenings that come your way that make you enjoy something. Now, joy is not based on a happening around you. Do you know that you don't have to have a roasted pig to have joy? You know, you don't have to have a ball game to have joy. You know, you don't have to have a party to have joy. Joy is based on something that does not change. Joy is based on not based on circumstances. It's based on a truth that will never change. Let me show you what I mean. I'm saved. That's joy. My name is written in heaven. I never have to die and go to hell. My sins are forgiven. Guess what? I have joy in my salvation. Guess what? The King James Bible brings me joy. You say, why? Because it's never going to change. It is the never-dying, inspired, infallible, word-for-word, perfect Word of God. That gives me joy. It's not written by man. It's written by God. It was settled before the foundation of the world, and that gives me joy. Guess what? I never have to face hell. Can I tell you something? That gives me joy. It doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to face hell. I don't know about you, but I can get pretty joyous about that one. The Bible says there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Folks, we're all sinners. We're all guilty. We've all been found death as our sentence. And Jesus took care of all of it if you're saved. You know what? I can find a whole lot of joy in that one. Heaven is my home. Guess what? I'm going to walk streets of gold, gates of pearl, see a mansion that God made just for me. We're going to have a crystal river in heaven. We're going to get to see God himself. We're going to get to see Jesus Christ. We're going to get to see the Holy Spirit one day. We're going to get to see the tabernacle in heaven. We'll see the very blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and me applied to the mercy seat in heaven that got you there. It will be there forever. Guess what? Heaven's a real place. Huh. My grandpa's there. My grandma's there. My other grandfather's there. I've got loved ones there. I've got friends there. I've got Brother Hiles there. I've got other folks that I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of people I know that are there. Guess what? I'm going to get to see them again someday. Some of you have children that have gone there. Some of you have parents that are there. Some of you have other loved ones that are there. Hey, can I tell you something? Heaven's a real place, and that gives me joy. Now, God does not tell us, though, just to have joy. I want you to notice the verse we read. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Do you know what the word rejoice means? It means rejoice. It means to joy again. That means you're supposed to hit the joy button and keep on pressing that thing. Keep on smacking that thing. When you don't feel like it, when you're not real happy, God says, push the rejoy button. You don't have to be happy, but you can rejoy. When the bad times come, oh, it's just so hard. Being a Christian is such a hard thing. Well, hit the rejoice button and you won't have such a bad day. You might feel like the statue, but it's time to be the pigeon. Amen. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes, but it was there. It was there. By the way, the implication here is everything wasn't all sunshine and posies. Do you realize when God gave these words to the Apostle Paul to pen, he was in jail? He was facing getting his head cut off. He was about to die, and God said, Paul, rejoice. He wasn't sitting in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, amen? He was in Mamertine Prison. He was in a hole underneath the prison. He was anywhere from ankle to knee deep in the waste from the residents of the prison above him. He had a pet rat that kept him occupied while he was chained up down there. Can I tell you something? He wasn't in a situation to be happy, but God said, push the rejoice button. Let me ask you a question. Why are you walking around so mopey all the time? It's time to push the rejoice button in your life. You say, do you wake up this way in the morning? No, I got to push it too. I don't jump out of bed. Bless the Lord. Say, how do you get out of bed? I crawl out. Whether I want to or not. Now, it doesn't take me long to get going. Can I tell you why? Because I know where that rejoy button's at. It's the coffee. Folks, as soon as you hit that coffee button, you can joy about anything. Amen? They got to discover some kind of alarm clock that automatically sticks an IV needle in either in your veins or in your mouth, and it just starts dripping the coffee in. Amen? Now, wait a minute. My alarm hasn't gone off in I don't know how many months. I bet you my alarm clock hasn't run. I haven't set my alarm. And I'm up long before you are, most of you. Now, wait a minute. I watch so many Christians not happy because they let external things control what happens in their life. God says to rejoice and let the internal rule the exterior. Quit letting the exterior rule the interior. Well, I don't feel good. Have you ever not felt well? Did you know I've preached and not felt well? Now, I know that's hard for you to believe, but I have. I remember preaching a couple times. I did not have any voice. I remember sitting in the office with Brother Smith saying, Brother Smith, pray. I remember giving announcements and I was talking like this. Got up to preach and everything went, here we go. Whew. God kicked in. As soon as we said amen, it was gone again. Wait a minute. I didn't feel like preaching, just so you know. I've preached with a fever. Now, I haven't preached throwing up because I don't do that. Amen. I did preach with a kidney stone one night. I went to the hospital, had a kidney stone at 4 o'clock in the morning, and preached that night at 7 o'clock, just so you know. I don't remember what I said. I was on drugs, but boy, we had a good service. I hope that one wasn't on tape, amen? Yeah, we were rejoicing, amen? Whew! Now, wait a minute. People look at their jobs and get sad. They look at their car and get sad. They look at their house, the weather, the news, their friends, and they're counting on all of that to give me happiness. No, God says you need to have joy. Doesn't matter if your car got wrecked, you can have joy. Trust me, I know. Man, I had a brand new car. I hadn't had that thing. I made one payment on my car, and somebody smacked the back end of that thing. That's the first accident I've been in my whole life. Say, I bet you got mad. No, jumped out, make sure everybody was okay, and thought, praise the Lord, nobody got hurt. Started witnessing to people cracked in the back end of my car, amen? Then more of their family showed up, started witnessing to them. I thought, man, if I'm going to stand here, I'm going to make the most of this thing. Say, did you get mad? Uh-uh. Metal can be fixed. Thank God it wasn't my wife or my daughter that got hurt. Nobody got killed. Praise the Lord. Really, praise the Lord. Wasn't my fault. I was just sitting at the traffic light. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Some of you, it would ruin your week if somebody hit your car. Guess what? You can have joy. Well, you don't know the people I work with. Have you ever tried to pastor? Believe me, it's not as easy as you think it is. Try it sometime. But wait a minute. We look at the news. I said something this morning. You know, the world's going to overheat in the next 30 years. We're going to have no clean drinking water in 10 years. Do you know they've been saying that for the last 47 years of my life? Do you know that when I was in grade school, they talked about the next great ice age? Now they're talking global warming. Y'all remember that? Okay. Can I tell you something? Jobs change, friends change, news changes, weather changes regularly. Houses can change, cars can change. All those things change. Those are things that you cannot control always. Can I tell you something? Joy is not based on those things. I want to teach you what God says about joy and how to rejoy yourself. Do you know that you can push the reset button on joy yourself? Do you know that you don't need anything going on around you? You can get news that someone has passed away and have joy. My future daughter-in-law, she lost a grandparent here just a few weeks ago. Went to a funeral. Just last week, her uncle passed away. They went to a funeral yesterday. I thought, God bless that young lady. God bless her family. She's about to get married. Say, what'd you do? I texted her early yesterday morning. I said, I know you're facing a funeral, but can I tell you something? There's a real place called heaven. And your uncle's there. He's walking streets of gold. He's not feeling any pain. And he ended up having some kind of, I think it was leukemia or something like this. They finally told the family, and the next day he died. I mean, it was just boom. I said, he's there, no pain, no sorrow. I said, he's walking streets of gold. He's getting things ready for your family. He's up there with your grandpa. And we started going back and forth on this thing. And she said, thanks for helping me see the right side of this. I was helping her push the rejoy button. Amen. Say, but wait a minute, they lost somebody. You know what? You can joy over the loss of someone. God said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Some of you get mad at God, and God looks at it as being precious, just so you know. Because he gets to spend time with them then full time. Number one, the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, take your Bible, I want to show you something. Some of you need to mark these verses or write them down. Luke chapter 10, verse number 20. If you ever want a verse to memorize, this ought to be one that you memorize. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Can I tell you something? These healers, feelers, and squealers that think they can slap you in the head and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and get all wound up about it and flop on the floor like a fish out of water, they think they've got something. Guess what? They're rejoicing in power over spirits, but their name isn't written in the book of life, and they're not rejoicing over that. If you're saved, you have nothing to be upset about. Did you catch that? Nothing. Say, how can you always be happy? You're always on top side. Because my name's written in heaven and you can't take it away. Sorry, boys and girls, don't do that. But wait a minute. Don't find your joy in the ability of leading people and being powerful. Find your joy in the fact that your name is written in heaven. Do you know what? Your ability to lead will diminish one day, but your name will never be erased from heaven if you're saved. You know, realize you never have to face hell. You know, the worst thing you have to face is this life. If you're saved, this is as bad as it gets. You say, it's pretty bad. Yeah, it might be pretty bad, but you're not going to die and go to hell and get worse. If this is all you got to suffer, it's not a whole lot of suffering, just so you know. Folks, it takes me about that long to get excited about being saved. It really does. Man, I was up here blubbering a little while ago while he sang. Can I tell you why? We've been through the valley together. Guess what? He's saved. So am I. I got a lot to get excited about. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having a time. You know, realize no one can take your name out of heaven. Folks, do you realize if you're saved, what you really got?
It's just so hard to be a Christian. There's no fun.
Well, pray tell me, what are you calling fun? The devil's work or God's? I don't know about you, but when I go tell somebody how to get saved and they get saved, it doesn't take me long to get really wound up. It's not going to the movie house. It's not reading the newspaper. It's getting somebody saved. It's seeing God transform somebody's life. It's that young man standing in this pulpit singing tonight. Now that's enough to get joyous about. Everybody doing all right? Because I'm having fun. Can I tell you why? My joy. My name's written in heaven. I'm not excited over the fact that, how many did you have in church today? I don't even know, and I don't even care, other than the fact that we had new people here, and I'm excited about it. It's not a matter of my leadership. It's a matter of my name's written in heaven. Nobody can ever take that away. Folks, if you're saved, nobody can ever take it away. Hey, some of you that grew up in church, why don't you get excited about being saved once in your life? You say, well, I got over that a long time ago. No, you're backslidden is what it is. You're not over it. I hope I never get over being saved, just so you know. If I get over being saved, I hope God turns me over and shoves me in a hole in the ground about 6 foot deep and covers it up. I don't want to get over getting saved. Boy, that's good. I got to hurry. Number two, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to read two verses to you here, and you'll have to give me just a second to explain it, but Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Folks, we are to rejoice in the peace of God available to you through grace and faith. Do you know what? According to the Bible, you can have peace.
Oh, that's all I want is peace.
Peace doesn't mean that everything's all smooth. I preached a sermon on this about, oh, my soul, 14, 15, 16 months ago. I preached a whole sermon on peace. Peace is a result of war or battle, not the absence of. To get it, you got to fight. Just so you know. Some of you are asking for calmness, not peace. When Jesus stood on the bow of the ship and the wind was raging, the waves were high, the boat was filling with water, the rain sloshing everywhere, it wasn't that everything was calm. He said, peace! Be still. You say what? Because he fought the battle and won. In the Greek, if you look it up, the words peace, be still, is this. Yeah! Guess what? It obeyed. He fought the battle and he won it. Amen. Can I tell you something? Life's problems can create turmoil. But if you're happy about being saved and you have hope because of the grace of God, guess what? You can take any problem. You can take any problem.
I just don't think I can take any more.
Can I tell you why? Because you're doing it and not letting God have it. Quit doing it in the flesh. You say, well, it's done by faith in the face of opposing circumstances. We'll find out how much joy you have when everything's going the wrong direction. I'll promise you. When everything's going bad, we'll find out what kind of joy you have. By the way, you don't need joy if everything's going good. You need joy when everything's not going good. That's why God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He said, keep smacking that rejoice button, amen? Keep hitting that thing. You say, why? Because you're in a spot that doesn't deem that you're real happy right now. The circumstances are against you, but by faith, in the grace of God, you're going to heaven, your name's written there, and you can have peace if you'll rely on that. Boy, that's good. By the way, Jesus, the Bible says, is the hope of glory. Why are you so discouraged then? You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had bad circumstances. But they found joy in the midst of the fire. Say why? They jumped in and didn't burn up and said, it must not be hell because I don't feel it, but man, I see a lot of it. And they looked up and there was Jesus. He said, it's okay, fellas, pull up a chair, warm your hands, everything's all right. Let's show old Nebuchadnezzar what we can do. By the way, only three came out. Jesus is still in the fire. I better hurry. Next. Rejoice in all you do for Christ, not being in vain. Turn to the book of Philippians again, chapter 2, just a couple pages from where we were. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16, the Bible says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Folks, can I tell you something? Whatever you do for Christ, you can get excited about. I'm about to preach to you. Hang on. Did you know that everything that you do for Christ is eternal? Do you know that every person you win to Christ, it's eternal? You know, every time you love somebody that needs loved and you help somebody that needs help and you do it for the cause of Christ, that's forever. See, how could you get so excited just a little while ago? Because I've invested in somebody and watch what God could do and know it's eternal. There's people in this room I've won to Christ. Guess what? It's eternal. Now listen very carefully. You don't even need to see the outcome to be joyous. Do you know that some of you have done things for God and you'll never know till you get to heaven? That there was positive things for it. So many of us are so fleshly. We want to see the results of it right now. You're like that 7 to 8 year old boy that wants to be 13. He's trying to get there before he's there. Amen. You want to see the results beforehand. The Bible says, rejoice in all that you do for Christ, not being in vain. Now I'm going to preach at you for just a second. Why do you want the credit for it then? Some of you are so miserable because you're doing it for you, not for God. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, why don't you look at it from God's point of view then? Well, I can be a good Christian and not do that. Why don't you look at it from God's point of view instead of yours? You're like the Pharisee. You'll fast, but you want to stand up in front of everybody. Oh, would y'all pray for me? I'm going to go on a 3-day fast. And everybody in church knows you're fasting. Say why? Because you want everybody to feel sorry for you. I was going to kill Brother Gus. He said, did you go to that new restaurant? I said, Brother Gus, people on diets don't go to restaurants. I didn't even ask him what the name of it was again so I wouldn't be tempted to go. Now, wait a minute. You say, why did you talk about your diet so many months ago? So that I had to lose weight. You tell a couple hundred people you're going to lose weight, guess what? It's put up or shut up, amen? Now, wait a minute. There's times you can joy over things, joy over your obedience, not the results. You know that every time you go soul winning, you can rejoice. You were obedient to God. You say, well, I didn't have anybody saved when I went soul winning last time. So what? You got the gospel out. You obeyed God. That's worth getting excited about. Show me one place in that Bible where it says you have to have somebody saved every time you go. Now, I think God wants people to get saved, but guess what? That's his job, not yours. You're just supposed to go scatter the seed. Have a leaky seed basket. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you asked God to let you help somebody? Do you know, every time, every day, I've prayed the prayer, Lord, help me to help somebody, he lets me. Did you know that? Do you know that there are people out there waiting for you to help them? But you haven't asked God to let you help them. By the way, that doesn't mean you come back and tell everybody what you did. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Guess what? You just got your reward. I was working in my front yard one day and the one neighbor lady came over and we were talking. She knew I was in the ministry and she was asking about one of my boys being at college. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you get paid pretty good? I kind of chuckled. I said, God takes care of my needs. I said, but my retirement benefits are out of this world. She said, really? What kind of retire? Oh. It took her a little while to process that one, amen? Yeah, buddy. I said, I just keep sending mine all ahead. I said, it's not the pay here. I said, I'm working for the next life. You shouldn't talk to me a whole lot anymore. I don't know why. Now, wait a minute. Have you asked the Lord to let you help somebody? When's the last time you asked? By the way, that doesn't mean that it's going to cost you a lot of money. It could be that you asked God to bring somebody your way to encourage today. Could be that you just brought a smile to somebody. Could be that somebody had a heartache and you got to pray with them. Could be that they were dying and going to hell and you were supposed to cross their path and win them to Christ. Could be that, boys and girls, that you were supposed to obey your mom and dad to help them because they were having a tough time. Instead of being obstinate and ornery and a pain where you shouldn't be a pain. It could be, boys and girls, maybe that you're supposed to ask God to help you help your mom and dad, not be a welfare case and make them help you all the time. Everybody doing okay? Oh, great. Better go to point number 4. And I don't have a poem, amen? Number 4, rejoice in the partaking of the sufferings of Christ. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. That sounds funny. Rejoice in being a partaker in the suffering of Christ. But watch this. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now watch this. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified.
Well, I went to this store and somebody made fun of me for being a Christian.
Oh, you wear that as a badge of martyrdom. God said, hit the reset button. You ought to be joyous over that.
Well, I had to take a stand at work.
And you think you are the next person to die at the burning of the stake. Can I tell you something? God said, that ought to be your rejoice button. You ought to say, I got to stand for Christ today.
Wear that badge with honor, just so you know. Some of you think it's a bad badge to wear.
It's a happy one. Ladies, when you dress right in public and people are going, like they've never seen a woman in a dress. Can I tell you something? You're supposed to rejoice in that. You're supposed to rejoice in it. I love being with my wife and daughter. We'll be at the store. They'll be shopping or something. My wife and daughter went dress shopping the other day. And my wife's not a difficult person in many ways. But buying her a dress and forcing her to buy a dress, oh, that's too much. Just buy the stupid thing, amen? I don't care how much it costs. No, I do care how much it costs, but I got to be careful here. But wait a minute. Well, and modest to her, her standards are far higher than most. They had some lady waiting on them, I guess. My daughter said, this lady was saying, too low on top, too short at the bottom. It's too this, too that. Is there not? She said, no, I'm a Christian. She said, oh, one of those. Now, some of you would have said, oh, that's so bad. It didn't bother her a bit. It was rejoice button. My daughter was having a time. It was great. She was finding out how a lady deals with it in public. Amen. Can I tell you something? Some of you think it's the worst thing in the world because somebody said you are a Christian. You think you're going into Fox's Book of Martyr. Somebody snubbed you at the store. No kidding. You know, I've had lost people snub me at the store as well. Saved people, who cares? Doesn't bother me. We went to, one of my wife's family members passed away, and this is a long time ago. We went up to the funeral. I jumped out of the car, and a relative she didn't even know, he said, you a Baptist? I had never met the man in my life. I said, yeah, how'd you know that? He said, you smell like one. I thought, well, I've been told I look like one, told I've been sound like one. I must smell like one. I didn't ask him what a Baptist smelled like. Nope. He say, did that make you uncomfortable? No, because I led one of her nephews to the Lord. Had people saved at the funeral. Can I tell you something? I got excited about it. I might smell like a Baptist, but at least people are getting saved. Amen. By the way, I'm not going in the Fox's Book of Martyrs because I smell like a Baptist. You know, some of you think it's the hardest thing in the world. Fellas, it's not that hard when somebody starts talking filthy to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't talk like that. When I worked in the shops, it was, the Baptists are here. You got to stop. I didn't have to say nothing. I already said it once. You don't have to say it more once, I promise you. Trouble is you sit there and listen to it all the time. Okay, moving on. Don't get discouraged when people do things like that. The Bible says you ought to count it as a rejoy button. Folks, if they think you're a Christian, guess what? Rejoy. Ding, 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 ding. You know, I got to quit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? joy. Huh. Can I teach you the whole secret to being able to rejoice? Joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. That means if you'll get your will out of the way, submit to the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? I don't care what comes your way, you can have joy. When you're not rejoicing, it's because you're not submitted to the Holy Spirit and in tune with God and His Bible. I hate to tell you, but when you walk around life all the time, I don't think that you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You'd spank your kids for walking around the house like that. Why do you walk around God's house that way? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. That means this. You can have re-joy anytime you want. Well, I'm just not happy. Then have joy. I'm not excited. Then hit the rejoy button. Folks, everybody does things they don't like to do. Everybody has things happen to them they don't want happening to them. But can I tell you something? They can't steal your joy. They can steal your happiness, but they don't have to steal your joy. Quit focusing on the external and focus on the internal. That's how you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You just got an advanced course, a doctrinal thesis on how to have joy in your life. Promise you. Not from me, but from the Word of God. Some of you need to quit relying on the happenings around you and decide you're going to get the joy of the Lord.